Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Joining us on the line now is Roxy Bourdillon, who's an award-winning writer and the editor-in-chief of Diva, the world's leading magazine for LGBTQIA plus women and non-binary people. As a journalist, she's interviewed the likes of Emma Stone, Rachel Weisz and Keira Knightley. Her book, What a Girl Wants, A True Story of Sexuality and Self-Discovery, talks about overcoming shame and finding your tribe, to surviving the dating scene and learning to really express yourself. It's a book about joy, empowerment, and freedom. Welcome to the show, Roxy.
Thank you so much for having me, Hannah. I'm delighted to be here, and I absolutely love that I've been played in by the Christina Aguilera.
Oh, well, it was perfect, wasn't it? It had to be done. It's lovely to have you with us, and I'm guessing there's been a lot that has gone into this book. It feels like you've covered so many different aspects of kind of love and relationships and life.
Yes, I think so. I think it's exploring all sorts of different aspects of my own personal experience of what it's been like to navigate the world and to grow up and come of age as a woman who happens to really, really love women in all senses of the word, in a world that can make you still feel pretty terrible about both of those things. So I hope that it does explore all sorts of things, from body image and mental health to career struggles to love and loss.
Yeah, and you can bet that because you've been through these experiences, there's loads of other girls and women that have been through these experiences. So you'll be helping a lot of people to relate and go, oh, I'm glad it's not just me.
Well, I really hope so. That's what I've been hearing from the gorgeous people who have read the book, my lovely early readers, and the influencers who've read it already, is that it's a comforting read. It's an entertaining, uplifting and heartfelt read. And I think for me, it's all about letting other women and other people, however they identify, know that they're not alone. Like, we all struggle through life with different things, but we can navigate our way through that. We can see the joy and the laughter, and we can fail and fall flat on our face, which I assure you I have done many times, but we can pick ourselves back up and we can, you know, find the strength within to move forward through it. So I really hope that people feel empowered and uplifted as well as entertained by it.
Yeah. And a lot of people have said, oh, I wish this book existed when I was growing up, because often when you're going through these periods of change and experimental things and feeling, is there something wrong with me? Why am I different from everybody else? You're feeling like you're the only one going through it, and having a book like this to read will be really helpful for young people.
I really hope so, you know, because when the book starts, when I'm 13 years old and I'm a little closeted lesbian living in Leeds in Yorkshire, and I'm secretly snogging my friend, but I am a stranger even to myself. I'm not out of the closet. I'm not in touch with who I am, because it feels scary to go there, in all honesty. It feels shameful and like something I dare not even look at. And it took me such a long time to navigate that shame and to find community and to untangle who I actually am and what I actually want from what we've all been told we should want as women. And I think that I really, really hope that this is impactful for all readers, but I do think of those younger readers who perhaps it can be a comforting guiding hand for them, fingers crossed, to let them know that they're not the only ones who struggle with this, and there's nothing wrong with them. They're gorgeous just as they are, and it's all going to be okay.
Mm. For anyone who hasn't been through this kind of experience, I'd like to think that everyone can appreciate how sad and awful it is to feel shame about the feelings that you feel, you know, about your sexuality and that kind of thing. To feel shame about it is awful.
It is awful, isn't it? It really is. I mean, I started nursery the same year they introduced Section 28 in the UK, which was the government law banning the promotion of homosexuality, which meant it was illegal to say anything good in schools about being gay. And they didn't repeal that law until just after I left sixth form, which I can't help taking personally. It did feel a bit like I was being trolled there. But it just contributed to this society of shame. And one thing in the book is I really wanted to explore my experience and the reality of growing up and navigating life as a queer woman, but also as a woman, because I do think there's something in there to relate to for all women and all people who've ever been made to feel shame. And it talks about the shame that I felt as a lesbian, but also shame that I felt as a woman, shame about my body, shame about how a woman should behave, fear of not being liked, and all these different things that can hold us back. But also, hopefully, there's lots of laughs because I've had lots of adventures and wild times as well. And that's all in there as well.
Yeah. I want to ask you actually about schooling, because it's a topic that comes up a lot. I mean, I know we get sensational headlines that are out there to kind of shock us. But there's been a lot of discussion over recent years about schools talking a lot more about sexuality and gender and children having the freedom to make decisions as to who or what they identify as. As I said, a lot of it's shocking headlines and people going, oh, that's ridiculous, that's ridiculous. What are your kind of thoughts as to how much of these subjects should be openly discussed in schools?
I think it's really important that we learn from the lessons of the past. So we learn from things like Section 28 that contributed to this feeling of being different, having a different identity, making you feel other and not acceptable. And we learn that we don't want anyone to feel like that. My view is that all people should be allowed to express who they are and feel safe and feel valued, however that looks like for them. So I'm all about comforting and uplifting people. I'm all about it being a supportive environment for people to feel free to be however they are.
Yeah, because so often people have kind of negative views on these subjects. And a lot of the time it comes from the point of view of not understanding the different genders and people being very black and white about it and going, you're either a man or a woman and that's it. Because they don't get all the different kind of nuances. And I think a lot of it comes down to education, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I think education's key. I think representation and visibility is also really powerful. And it's so exciting now, because when I look back to my younger years, you know, there was so little LGBTQIA representation. The first time I saw a lesbian on screen, it was in Bad Girls, the ITV drama set in a prison. And I was getting these messages that, oh, a lesbian is, you know, a criminal by default. But if you contrast that sort of desert wasteland of positive queer representation when I was younger with what we've got today, we've got gorgeous shows like Heartstopper on Netflix, we've got fabulous pop stars like Chapel Rowan, we've got wonderful books coming out and people sharing their stories. And I think it's really important to celebrate the diversity and to learn about each other, learn from other people's stories. If you don't know what it's like to walk in someone's shoes, then watch a program about it, pick up a book about it. And I think you'll probably find that people have got maybe more in common with you than you thought, because we're all human. We're all doing our best and trying to figure out this thing called life. But I think it's so wonderful to see the explosion of different voices, and especially, obviously, as a bookworm since birth, I love seeing it in literature as well.
Oh, absolutely. I was going to say, I also host a book show where I interview mainly fiction authors. And I've interviewed so many authors over the years who have written stories, particularly children's stories, or young adult stories, with characters who look like them or are like them, have their kind of sexuality or their gender or their religion or their colour of skin, all these different things, because they grew up themselves reading books about people who weren't like them, and they wanted to create a story with a heroine that represented them and their culture. And I love that.
Well, I love that too. It's just so beautiful and powerful to see, isn't it? And I love this idea that kids today can grow up in a world where they can pick up a book from the bookshelf and see themselves represented, see their families, their friends, and also just what the real world looks like. We're all different. There's all sorts of different people. And I love this blossoming in literature. And as you say, in children's literature, it's beautiful to see and so, so powerful.
Yeah. And for you, was it difficult sharing your personal intimate stories? You know, it's one thing sharing it with friends or maybe little kind of anecdotes on social media, but writing a real detailed book about your early years, was that scary?
You know, it was a little bit scary, if I'm totally honest. It was a little bit daunting. You do feel a bit like, oh, I'm bearing my soul here. And if people read the book, they will find out all sorts of things about me. It's quite funny now if I meet someone and they've read the book, I think, oh, hang on, you know exactly what I was doing when I was 28 on that wild night out. And that's a funny thing. But, you know, in all honesty, the process of writing a memoir, it's a craft. It's going back through your life, deep diving into things that have happened to you that are relevant on this particular through line, which for me was being a woman who really loves women. And it's interrogating how you actually felt at these different points in your life, what was going on there, and then trying to use that as a lens to tell almost a bigger story. And it is, you know, it is bearing my soul and sharing my stories, but it's also a craft of turning that into hopefully a compelling tale and a journey that will take the reader from feeling entertained to empowered to making them think, to making them cry, but then making them laugh. So when I got a bit nervous about the idea that people would know my story or aspects of my story, I'd remind myself about how amazing it would have felt for me to have read a book like this when I was younger, how powerful and gorgeous that would have been. So I'm sort of sending it out into the world with the hopes that it can bring comfort and joy and laughter and heart and make people feel good when they read it. I want them to go away from this book feeling positive.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you feel there was a particular moment for you when you decided, I mean, it might have been when you came out, if you did, but whether there was a particular moment when you didn't care what anyone thinks, when you were proud of who you are and you wanted to kind of shout it from the rooftops and just, yeah, let yourself be free and happy?
So I think, in all honesty, I'd love to say there was one light bulb moment where it switched. And since then, I've never felt shame. But I'd be fibbing to you, Hannah. That's not true. Shame is something that gets in you so deeply that you do carry it with you, I think. Certainly in my case, you know, it's a thing that can undulate and it can come and it can go. But in terms of owning my sexuality as a lesbian, I was in the closet for about 10 years before I came out. And then in my 20s, I did come out. But still, I wasn't properly out until I think probably until I got the job at Diva magazine. And then once I was working at Diva, I was really embedded in the queer community in this beautiful way. And I was meeting fabulous, extraordinary people. And I was seeing the power of community and of owning and relishing who you are. And I think for me, that helped make me feel bolder in owning and enjoying and feeling proud about my sexuality and my identity.
Yeah. I think it's so sad that the idea of feeling shame, when, you know, I associate the word shame with, you know, having done something wrong that you're ashamed of, you know, and lots of abuse survivors talk about feeling shame, and you think, oh my goodness, you haven't done anything wrong. You shouldn't be ashamed of being a victim and having things being done to you. And, you know, at the same time, you shouldn't feel shame in your sexuality and your feelings. And I'm so sorry you feel that.
Well, do you know what? I do sometimes feel that, as I think, you know, all of us may sometimes not feel fabulous about every aspect of ourselves, but I also feel a hell of a lot of queer joy and a lot of just joy for life and a lot of love of women, both in the romantic sense, but also platonically. And I think that I don't want people to think, oh dear, this Roxy Bordillon, she's feeling deeply unhappy, because I have so many good, happy, funny, joyful things in my life. So as well as it delving into these tricky topics, the book also, What a Girl Wants, also is a joyful book. It is a celebration and it is an uplifting read, because there's so much to feel good about as well as that.
Oh, that's great to hear. Can you tell us a joyful story then from your book, something that might make us laugh?
Oh, my goodness. Well, so there's it goes from my younger years. And there is a time when I am at university and I voluntarily decide to take part in a street theatre production of The Vagina Monologues. I don't know if you remember that play. So there I am in the centre of Manchester, voluntarily shouting out all sorts of quite explicit but hopefully empowering lines from The Vagina Monologues in the centre of Manchester for all to see. And it was funny revisiting that story, because you sort of think, oh, wow, read the signs, Rox, like they were there all along.
Oh, amazing. So I'm guessing it's been really quite cathartic and liberating writing this book, has it been?
It has indeed. It has indeed. And I think my hope is that it can also be liberating and cathartic for other people now. I've been working on this book for, you know, for a couple of years now, and now it's time to sort of set it free in the world and let it hopefully be found by other people. And I'll tell you, one of the most gorgeous parts of the experience of writing this book has been the moments when you talk to a reader or you hear from a reader and they tell you how your story has made them feel moved or seen or less alone, or that they've thought it was really funny, or that it's helped them through a difficult time. That is so special. That is so magnificent and just more than I could ask for. So, so I'm feeling really like now it's time for What a Girl Wants to be out there and hopefully uplifting and entertaining and comforting all sorts of people.
Yeah, great stuff. And I have to ask you about, I know I mentioned it in the introduction, interviewing the likes of Emma Stone, Rachel Weisz, Keira Knightley. That must have been exciting.
Oh, so exciting. So my profession is as a journalist, and a big part of being a journalist has been meeting these celebrities and people from all walks of life, also activists and campaigners and writers and all sorts of, normally it's a woman doing a fabulous thing or a queer or non-binary person doing an amazing thing. But especially in the early days of my career, if I was in a hotel room interviewing the likes of Keira Knightley, I would be very nervous but very excited, and they were real sort of life experiences. It was really fun.
Oh, brilliant. So what's next for you? I feel like you have a novel in you with this subject.
Oh, well, that would be absolutely lovely, wouldn't it? I love writing. I've been a bookworm since I was a little girl and I've always written. And I'd love to write a novel, you know. I'd love to branch out into fiction as well as nonfiction and journalism. So watch this space, because I think there's so many stories that need and want to be told.
Oh, definitely. Well, once you've got your novel out there, do get back in touch and I'll interview you on the book show.
Oh, I'd love that. That would be absolutely brilliant.
Brilliant. Well, if people want to get a copy of What a Girl Wants, it's out now on our website. You can order it from there on tre.radio, and it's by Roxy Bordillon, who we've been chatting with today. Roxy, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me. That's been so lovely.